All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me.
Hello.
Hey, Centaur Views. This is No Sense.
And Victoria to God.
So we're going to stick with that?
Yeah. Oh, no. Do you want to start it over? Because it does sound.
No. We can go. I was saying the name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Centaur Views. And we're also on the Apple Store for podcasts. We are on Stitcher. We are on Anchor as well as Spotify. What else do we have?
Facebook, Instagram, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I got so many things going on. So let's jump right into our two cents because our show has a lot to go over today. So you want to go first, Victoria? The God. You hit mute.
No. Hello? Can you? I wanted to talk about. Yes?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I wanted to talk about Allie song Tipsy. Like, I ran across of it. I like. When that first Ungodly Hour came out, when that album came out, I listened through the whole album. I was like, okay, some songs are vibe. Do It was definitely one of them. And I listened to Tipsy, but not even like listen to Tipsy. But then I saw that there was like a video or performance or something that came out on YouTube, because I'm always on YouTube. And I saw them singing it. And then I actually listened to the lyrics, and I'm like, what the fuck? They're, like, really talking about murdering somebody if they get played. Like, this man, or this dude, I should say, if they get played. And I'm like, this is unassuming. Like, we just had this whole big conversation about men talking about the WAP and wet ass pussy and how Meg's lyrics provoked her getting shot. And then I'm sitting here like, but Chloe and Halle are literally talking about murdering a nigga for not loving them and changing up like the weather. And then like finding their family and laughing and not even like just burying the man. And I'm just like, yo, this is funny. Like, this is funny. I appreciated it. It's like my argument with Janae Aiko, like people always compare her to like Meg Thee Stallion and City Girls. And I'm like, but she's crazy too. Like, she might be whispering in her songs and shit, but she's crazy. Like, if you listen to Maniac, 3 a.m., like, the worst, you think about all the little things that she said in her, like, if you actually listen to her music and listen to the lyrics, then you know that she is just as out here as Meg. And I'm saying just Meg just be talking about making niggas pay her bills before they eat her ass and shit. Like, it's not even that deep.
Janae be talking about hurting people's feelings and emotionally traumatizing them. So, that's a different type of hurt.
Yeah, I'm bugging. And I'm like, this album has been out since the beginning of the pandemic, at least. And
and nobody picked up on that.
Nobody picked up on that. Like that girl is a little mermaid.
Allie, how old are they to be coming out with a song called Tipsy anyway?
They're over 21, I believe.
Okay.
I think that like one of them is just turned 21 and the other one is like 22. They're pretty young at this thing. And Meg is too. That's the thing. Meg is not even 30, not even 25, I don't think.
Yeah, she's in her early 20s.
She's very early 20s, and it's just, I love it. I'm here for it. That's all. That's my 2 cents for the week.
Okay, I didn't know we were talking about Chloe and Haley. But my 2 cents, man, it's just the pandemic has just opened up a lot of stuff going on now for me. So we just announced on me and Tishana's, we have a production page basically. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram right now. It's TF, which is the letter T and the letter F, squared, spelled out. And the first thing that we're doing is we're having our own podcast, me and her. It'll drop every Monday, the second and fourth Monday of the month. So every other week. This will not affect Centaur Views in any way. This is our baby. So, but we just announced that coming. So we'll probably hit that. It's been November, December, which we December is going to be our off season, right?
Yeah, I think Sagittarius season we need a break.
Yeah, we might hit y'all with some best of type episodes. We'll see what we got.
Yeah.
But then also in the works is you've heard them on the last couple shows. Comedian Pudgy and I are developing a little YouTube show that we're starting. We did the first episode yesterday.
That was
Victoria is going to be featured on it. We had a ball. It's based off a little funny skits, but we had so much fun on messing up.
right. We really did.
Thank
But like the end of the day, one, congratulations to you and Tijana on your podcast. And two, I am not a professional. I write poetry, short stories, and songs. I perform poetry and short stories, song. I am not an actor. Please do not. Don't at me at all about my this.
The power of editing, though, it did come out very good.
That's what you
I
say.
mean, but I mean, we don't want it to be, you know, we don't have the budget. We don't want it to look like high. I think sometimes if you do it from the rawness, it makes it a little bit more genuine and funny. I like that. But we do
I mean, it's out of
appreciate
my
you.
comfort zone. I've been performing since I was a child, and I still don't like it. So it's just that's me. It has nothing to do with y'all. It was I had an awesome time, and I really think that it's gonna get y'all a lot of exposure for sure.
Man, it's just when y'all left and we had to just record the part where it was just me and him, man, it's so much stuff that's gonna end up on like a cutting room floor that we just couldn't find no reason to fit it, but it was still funny. Like me and him we could feed off each other for a long time. So
Y'all ignorant.
there's a couple of things I got coming up that are gonna be fun to, you know, be a part of. And it's always good to have your hands in different things so you won't get mundaned out. Because that's what we do with Sagittarius. We're not
For
creatures of
sure.
habit.
For sure. I'm proud. Well, I'm inspired. I shouldn't say proud because I had a little bit, but I'm inspired. Keep pushing, my brother.
Thank you. So, you ready to get to the show?
This is an adult show. Like newscasters, I feel important.
It's our age. I mean, it's something that I think once you get a job now, you're faced with it. So I don't think it's so much as an adult as far as it's just too mature. I think it's something that every person is going to deal with. It's a decision that, you know, you have to make in today's world, and a lot of people don't know about it, but anytime you get a job, it's the first thing they ask you about after they tell you you have a job. So I think it's a It's a good idea and a good time right now.
For sure. Let's get into it.
Yo, so today's show is going to be on healthcare.
Dun, dun, dun. Health insurance. I'm going to say healthcare. Hold on. I'm following your answer. Health insurance. Both Nosis and I work in the health insurance field, and I've been doing this type of work for a decade now. A decade. So how long have you been working?
I went to school for coding and billing. And that's how I ended up getting into the business. So about 8 years now.
So you're right behind me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're well versed in how insurance works and the ins and outs and things that most people don't know. Because I don't know about you, but I'm like the token person in the family. Like anytime somebody get a new job, because I need you to look at my insurance for me. Like, okay, I'm gonna start. That should be a side hustle or something. So, what about you? Well, you got.
I'm what?
I said you have a few people that works in the same industry. My family always coming to me asking me about.
Yeah, I'm. My stepmom's a nurse, so any medical stuff they just go to her. But like, yeah, I don't even get questions really. I get complaints.
I don't get
more questions from like. My siblings, like when they're trying to figure out things, you know, they're okay. I know Trey works with insurance, so they'll call me. But no, most people they don't. It's almost like, oh yeah, why didn't you guys do this? Or like, I don't know. That's the policy. I don't what you want me to do. But before we do continue, I want to say this. We keep our professional day-to-day job. We don't publicize it. I don't think we've ever really said it on here because we don't want to feel like we're endorsing any company or not endorsing and putting down. So what we're going to be talking about is insurance in general. We're not going to try to sell you on a particular type of insurance. We're just giving you the ins and outs of things. And if when it gets to that point to where you have to pay for it, you know, you can find out what's worth it. It'll will give you things to look out to make it make your decision better for you. Because there are disadvantages and advantages to particular type of plans and things of that nature out there.
I concur. I think this and like most of our podcasts, it's not an answer end all be all. It's just things that raise questions and awareness. So we're just going to give you the information that we think it would be helpful to deciding what's best for you. Like you ultimately have to make that decision for yourself. We are not no free publicity over here. Not at all.
So we want to just get into the types first.
Well, since the reason why we did it, the podcast now, particularly because it's open enrollment. This is the time when most people are getting their jobs, are passing out booklets and saying, okay, it's time to choose your benefits for 2021. And this happens usually, open enrollment is usually around the same time every year.
Well, for most companies.
For most companies, yeah. There are some companies that like have open enrollment at different times of the year. And it's based on whenever your employer decides to that they're want to have insurance enrollment. And most of the time you can't change your open enrollment, your benefits, and unless you have some type of
life changing event.
Yeah, life changes. Like you have a baby, you got married, you adopted a child, you, I guess, transitioning now is kind of like a, I don't know.
No. Well, I guess that depends on how the coverage. But I do know They do, you do get that option. Some companies do it the day you get hired, some companies do it 90 days. So if you aren't part of that open enrollment time, they give you like a limited, they might most it's gonna be within a 30-day time for them for you to enroll in the plan for the remainder of that period before they get to the next open enrollment. So if most likely people will face it probably twice at their first, at the job that they're at. Other than that, unless they have, like you said, a life-changing event, it'll be a decision that you pretty much make once per year.
And we also have to also, acknowledge that this is for people that are not only have the privilege of having a job that offers insurance. This information that we're giving you is for all. If you go and purchase your own health insurance, also, like if you have Medicaid, this information should be like helpful. I feel like the topics that we're going to cover.
Yeah, definitely. So
So,
it's, I mean, it's
if
more catered about a lot of the things that are ins and out are more difficult for employees, for employee groups. Your government programs, your Medicaid, your Medicare, stuff like that, they're pretty much cut and dry across the board, but different companies do maneuver differently that would affect these plans.
true. So there's we can start about talking about the different types of health insurance plans that we normally see. So I worked in a different a little bit of all over, and I'm nosy and like to learn. So I've learned about a few policies, even though I haven't worked them.
I think the most basic one that is more well known, and I see a lot of like when I do a lot of older, like reading older literature or coming across older film, there the it's the HMO. That's what people are used to from back in the day. And basically, what an HMO is pretty much you are assigned your doctor on your PCP, which is your primary care physician. And anytime you need to see a specialist, which would be somebody that you don't see for your regular visits, your cough, flu symptoms.
Like if you have foot problems, a podiatrist or a heart problems, a cardiologist, anything outside of your primary care physician or a pediatrician, or sometimes OBGYNs are considered PCP, sometimes they're not more, but it depends on your policy.
So, and the reason, and what happens is once you have to see a specialist, you have to get a referral. So that means that there is a small network, and there your doctor is going to say, well, you need to see a specialist, a cardiologist for your heart. They're going to connect you with the person in their network, meaning that it's someone that they're close to. But it's still going to be limited. So let's say we're getting in Columbia. If my doctor is based in Myrtle Beach and I'm only going there because that's the person that I trust, he's not going to be able to refer somebody that's in Columbia because of the time frame. They don't work with those doctors on a regular basis. So with the HMO, you're limited your size and your selection. But the pricing is going to be very, I would say competitive, affordable, but you would have to have a level of trust. A lot of people, when they get these type of plans, they go to a primary physician that has specialists that work in the office. So there's certain things that they can get around, certain things that maybe ear, nose, and throat specialist has, taught them or have a nurse there. As long as it's filed under that primary care physician, you would be covered at that copay, which most HMOs have a standard copay. It's like it's a smaller copay for your PCP, and it's a little bit higher copay for your specialist.
Right. I had the a PP HMO policy once, and I don't know why. I think it was more expensive, but I did realize like that you can, like you said, you can only I can only use my coverage in South Carolina. If I was going to visit family in New York, if something and an emergency happened, I had to go to the hospital, my insurance cover, like my insurance policy wouldn't work
Yeah,
at
because
all.
they don't cover out of network at all with most HMOs. So you would have a total out of pocket cost would be on you.
Yes. Total out of pocket. Like the total, like all of it. Like we have to emphasize that.
So it's pretty much all your health services are going to be funneled through your PCP. So that's why I say it's important that you get one that you trust. The advantage of the HMO is going to be the pricing. Of course, the disadvantage is going to be, like we said, that outside network, you're not going to be covered at all. It'll be a total out of pocket. Your insurance will pretty much be useless at that point.
Yeah, I did notice like most of that policy also like your the premiums may be a little bit higher also, but they are competitive. But compared to the other two policies that we're gonna go over, those the HMO policies seem to be a little bit more. I don't know. That's in my experience. It, totally in my experience. What you think?
I mean, it's like I said, it has its advantages.
Yeah.
Especially if you're an older person who you're not gonna go out a lot. You're on a limited
Right.
budget. You have someone who drives you to or a program that may drive you. It's gonna be very affordable for you, and you're gonna be able to get that person that, a lot of people, especially our older generation, you get used to certain things.
Right.
Familiarity, it makes you
Been
more
going to
comfortable.
the same doctor since they were at a ped. That's my pediatrician. Like you 25, you 50 years old, and still going to the same doctor that you've been going since you was two. Like. Yeah, that would be helpful for somebody like that. It needs to feel comfortable with the same type of physician.
And so, like I said,
Yeah.
with all of these that we're talking about, it's going to be disadvantages and advantages. So,
Sure.
and I think, you said we got the two more. There is one, I don't think that you're as familiar with it, but it's kind of a little bit of an upgrade for than an HMO. It's called a POS, a point of sale. And
Oh
it's
yeah, I forgot about that.
You still have to get the referral before seeing a specialist, but it covers out of network. But you will be paying a higher premium. And also your copays and stuff may be substantially higher than just the regular HMO. But it's
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Just want to make sure.
So, that's just a it's not every company, I mean every insurance company offers POS, but it's some of them do. So that's pretty much like the next level for above HMO.
So there's also the PPO. That's common now, I think. The PPO policies are the preferred. Shit, what is the P? What does the other P
Preferred
stand for?
provider organization.
There you go. Look at you. Your supervisor will be proud. The The PPO policies, those are the policies that you hear a lot about now. Like you hear people like, oh, I'm in the PPO policy network. And with the PPO network, you have just a larger network of providers. And when we say network, we mean that you have a different, a larger selection of providers. And those rates are competitive also.
Yeah, you're gonna pay, of course, pay a higher premium than you
Yeah.
would for HMO, but the benefit is they give you in-network. You don't have to have a referral for your PCP. So if you don't like your
Yes.
PCP, you can change. I mean, you're not assigned to your PCP. So if you don't like your PCP, you can change without notifying your insurance company. You can go to any specialist. You don't need a referral. Your doctor may say, I suggest this, but if you don't feel comfortable there, you don't have to say, well, this is my only option. Anybody that's in that company's network, you will be able to go to.
And most plans also cover out-of-network benefits just at a lower rate. So if you have like a an in-network rate of 80% after your deductible is met, then sometimes your an average out-of-network cost would be like 50% after your out-of-network deductible is met. And with the PPO policy, I love the PPO policies because I don't like sitting there waiting on a referral from a doctor, and I will switch a doctor in a minute. Like, I don't like what you're talking about. I don't like the wait. I'll just go find me another doctor.
Yeah, and the thing with the in network and out of network is whenever you are within an insurance company, they have providers that are contracted with them. So the providers that are contracted with them are going to be in network. And what that means is they're contracted. It doesn't mean that the provider is going to promote the company or the company is going to promote the doctor. It just means that they have an agreement on what they're allowed to bill you. So when you're in network, you may see a bill from your doctor for $300. But what you're going to be held responsible for, the contract rate may be $100. So that means that based on your benefits, you and your insurance company will work in paying that $100. Whatever is applied with a copay, or co-insurance, that percent, the makeup of between you and your insurance company will be that $100. If you go out of network, which will still be covered, and you have a $300 bill, when your in network rate is $100, that means that if you're going to be able to, that you're going to work that $100 out with your insurance, but that $200 that was the difference, you still have to pay that out of pocket. That's your penalty for going out of network.
Yeah, with the out yeah with the and out of network, you still be able the out of network providers are still able to balance bill you, but if your deductible is like out of network deductible is $300, you're only going to get your insurance company is still going to reimburse you
They just won't cover the entire thing. Oh,
the
yeah, it
entire
wouldn't be a write-off for your provider, as it would be in
right.
network. Now, there is, I don't think it's not really a trick, but it's been used for people who didn't have coverage in the past, and a lot of companies that are not contracted by habit, where they don't choose to be contracted with other companies. They will allow you to just pay back that allowed amount. Now, what you would need to do is call the billing company that billed you that amount if they're out of network, and they would need proof of what the allowed amount is. You would just ask them, can I reimburse you what my in network,
Up to the contract
yeah,
rate
up to the contracted
for
rate of what my insurance covered. And they'll most
yeah.
likely ask you to fax or mail a copy of your EOB showing that allowed amount, and they'll take the write-off as if you were in network. That's as easy as looking at FAQ, frequently asked questions on the website, or just calling up and asking. A lot of companies do it. Some companies don't have a policy where they do it, but it's always worth a try. You never know where you're gonna have to be where the doctor might not be in network.
Right. And should also note that all ambulance in South Carolina are out of network. They have a whole monopoly going on. They really do. Oh. Do you have an HMO policy or PPO?
I have a HMO.
You go to the doctor more frequently
Yeah,
than I do.
so I save more on my copay, so that's why I chose that. And I have different things. That's the one other thing that you have to. Employers have different benefits with your health insurance program, so you always want to look at what the perks are. With mine, being that I have a life-threatening issue, I pay a lower copay than if I were just to have a regular copay. So in the end, with the HMO and everything, it works out for me. But if I didn't go as much, I would probably do a PPO. At my age, I would probably do a PPO if I didn't go as much.
You make it seem like you're like an elder for real. Like, I have a CDHP plan because I hardly go to the doctor, and the premiums are like very small, and I need all my coins
Yeah, but
throughout the year.
that's the next one. That's the disadvantage. That's the one advantage, and that's the disadvantage. So
Yes.
you wanted to jump into that one now?
Sure. The CDHP plan is the advantage of it is that it's usually the lower cost per month premiums that you come out of your paycheck. My premiums are very small for health insurance, and but the disadvantage is that I have a very high deductible. And with health insurance, it's sort of like car insurance. You have to pay your deductible before your insurance actually kicks in, which is before your co-insurance. Your co-insurance is the amount that the insurance, the percentage of the amount that the insurance will pay after you meet your deductible. And that my deductible is like $2,400, and I'm like never going to meet it, because I the only time I go to the doctor is mental, is like my therapy sessions. And I have a FSA for that also. So
Which we'll get into, though.
yeah.
We'll discuss that later.
Yeah, with on the CDHP plan, you also still get the PPO. You're in the PPO network, so I get to go to all the network providers that are in PPO. And I, if I don't like the doctor, like I've switched OBGYN several times. So yeah.
Yeah, and also, some of you might not be familiar. It's also ADHP. Pretty much that's for high deductible. CDHP is usually what the companies, when employers, have. So if you're buying an individual, it can be a high deductible plan, called a high deductible plan as well. Victoria said, the advantage is the cost. It's mostly going to be the lowest premiums out of all of them. However,
Oh, and it's also normally they cover at 100% once you do meet your deductible. I guess if you want to, it depends on your budget. If you want to pay the money on the front end or you want to pay it on the back end, because the HMO plans and the PPO plans, you're basically paying the amount I would pay for my deductible in premiums. I have to just pay my deductible up front. Y'all don't get to pay it. Y'all just pay it. Like the money comes out of your premiums versus being applied to your deductible or copay. Mine is coming straight out of my deductible. But once my deductible is met, which it will never be met, it'll cover at 100%. I've never seen a high deductible plan that doesn't cover at 100%. Have you? You have?
Just, I mean, they cover close.
It's
It's like
like
90 or 95.
yeah, they have the higher coverage.
But that's the thing, is you're deductible, and that's, with the, okay, let's say HMO plan, your deductible may be $750. If you know that you're going to use that, then you already save. With the CDHP, if you don't know that you're going to use that, that's where the disadvantage is, because most people who have the CDHP don't get sick often. And so
Right.
it's kind of like getting minimum coverage on your car. It's the
Right.
minimum coverage for
Liability.
you, basically. It's insurance, just because it's, but if something happens, you are covered, but you're not really. You're going to be held at a higher penalty than someone who's under a PPO or HMO. And that's the main disadvantage. So for like the reason.
I've heard people. I was gonna say that I've heard people that it were like really that were sickly. They try to get all of their, like, if they have, they know that they have chronic illness, and they try to get all of their doctor's appointments off done in the beginning of the year. So and they so they'll go to the, like, if they wanted to have a major surgery, they'll go ahead and get everything done, because $2,400 in medical bills can add up really quickly, and it doesn't take much. So they'll try to get their coverage, their services like lab and outpatient, all this other stuff done in the beginning of the year. And once they have, like at the end of the year, their surgery, their major surgery, will be covered at 100%. They won't have to really worry about it. So it can go either way. If you want to, if like for me, for somebody that doesn't use my insurance that well, that much, or someone that does, it really depends on what you need your insurance for. And how often you go, and how much money you want to spend.
And I mean, like I said, there's the disadvantages to each, to all of these, as well as advantages.
Right.
Now, like I said, the reason, the way I look at it, as far as like the age, what I was saying, is being that I know that I have health issues, that's the reason that I have the HMO, because I know I'm gonna go to the doctor a lot. With the
Right.
PPO, let's say I didn't have something that's life-threatening, but I'm overweight, I have a family with high risk of diabetes. It's like there's a chance, there's more of a chance that there can be something. So, but I can still like go ahead and don't worry, live my life. You know, if I get hurt somewhere, skin or whatever, it's covered because I got coverage all over the globe. And then your CDHP, especially for younger people who are, you know, you fresh out of college or high school, and this is your first job, you know.
Oh, you working at minimum wage at Taco Bell?
Yeah, and you trying to, you know, your parents are saying you got to be out the house and da da da. Well, this, you know, that you don't have to really worry about no health issues, so you just pay that little, you know, that premium just for that off chance. But the thing is that disadvantage is if something happens, just like Corona now, a lot of insurance
Right.
are covering stuff that is Corona related, but some of them choose not to. So if you're in the hospital and you have to be on a ventilator for days, that's, you're going to eat up your deductible. So like
And they're gonna want
you
that.
know, like Victoria said, now you it'll stop and everything will be covered at a higher rate. But you'll still, if you weren't planning on spending $7,000 in that year on hospital bills, you're going to be, you know, that's going to hit you kind of hard. And that's the thing is, a lot of insurance companies, a lot of companies, they get rebates from insurance companies. And that's being that their workers were safe that year or they were healthy. They didn't go to the doctor, so they were allowed to get a rebate because they didn't use a certain amount of, you know, of money to from the company that reimbursed the insurance companies. So the insurance companies reimbursed in this amount that can be dispersed against their employees however they choose.
You can tell that you work in like customer service on the customer service side. Very thorough.
And the people
I think
that I talk
I know. I when I was working on the customer service side, I thoroughly like talking to the members because and the customers because a lot of people just felt like, oh, I had insurance, this should be covered. And a lot they didn't really understand that no, there's dynamics. There's things that are may or may not be covered, and the education is it makes your job easier because you won't have repeat calls if you give them all the information and make sure that they know everything first time talking to
Yeah,
them. But
which
yeah.
we're pretty much done with that part with telling you that's pretty much all the types. There are certain other types, but they're all kind of within those different categories. There are basically subtypes of those.
Yeah, those are just the general types that you see that most people have.
But we're going to talk about, it's a question that, especially in the customer service side, that I get a lot. There's a lot of people, they don't understand how their premiums, their deductibles, the co-insurance, and out-of-pockets, they don't understand where that goes or what it is. And I get a lot of people that call, and I'm pretty sure you remember getting people that call. They feel like just because they pay the premium, your insurance company is supposed to cover whatever happens to them.
Yeah, I just yeah, I thoroughly remember hearing I got insurance. Okay. It's not like car insurance or like not even car insurance has the same it's kind of it has the same too, but now health insurance is a
Yeah,
little bit
but you
different.
know, car insurance, you kind of expect, you know, everybody pretty much knows I pay this. And then if you pay a higher, you know, you pay full coverage, most of the time you don't have a deductible. They cover it without you paying anything.
Right.
But with insurance, with health insurance, you're most of the time going to have a deductible. There are certain plans, but like we're saying, that you're going to pay a higher premium. So what your premium is when you're
Right.
getting from an employer, is going to be what is taken out of your check for your insurance. When you're just getting it individually, that's going to be what you pay every month or every 3 months, every 6 months, however you got it set up. That's what you pay. And all that is for you to have insurance. It's for you to go to a doctor, present the card, verify your insurance, and you have it. It doesn't go.
Basically, guaranteeing you a contracted rate
Yes.
is really, yeah.
And so that is what most people have car insurance. You pay it, and then if you get into an accident, you use it. That's how it is. That's only pretty much only basis about the premium. It's something that is paid. That's not paid. That's not something that you can call in if you're in your employer and just say, I want to know. You know, you can't call into your insurance company because that's never going to be decided by your insurance company. It's going to be decided by your employer. So when you pick your open enrollment and you see those premiums, that's going to be taken out of your check. That has nothing to do with your insurance company at all.
The amount of coverage that you actually have.
But when it comes to your deductible, your co-insurance, and your out-of-pocket, these are all things that apply with your insurance. This has nothing to do with what you pay out of your check. So first, we're going to talk about a deductible. Like we said with HMO, you usually are going to have co-pays for your office visits, yes, and specialist visits. But for hospital visits, you have a deductible. For your PPO, you still have co-pays for certain things, but they also have deductibles. And then CDHP is most likely going to be all deductibles. And what a deductible is an amount of money that you have to pay out of your pocket. And then once that's met, that's when your insurance company will pay out. So let's say that you have a $5,000
Great
deductible.
shots.
Your insurance company won't pay squat, except unless you have something that's under a copay, until that $5,000 deductible is met. So if you keep going to the doctor and your bill is, like we said, your bill can be $300 and we allow $100. Well, that means that the provider can only charge you $100. So you paid $100 to the provider, not to the insurance company. And then that goes towards your deductible accumulation. So that $100 goes toward that 5,000. But your insurance company, they're even though you're getting a discount from using the insurance company, they're not paying anything until you meet that deductible. And so
Right.
once you meet your deductible, then that's when the coinsurance kicks in.
Because once you meet your deductible, the coinsurance kicks in. The coinsurance is what the percentage that the insurance will pay, and then you will still be responsible for. Most on average, an 80-20 policy is that's average. When you say 80-20, like the insurance company will cover 80% of the cost of the contracted rate, and then you will be responsible for 20% of the contracted rate. The contracted rate, it varies if the doctor actually bills it's really up to the doctor, will they bill the total charges, or will they bill the contracted rates? They have so many different contracts, it's a lot. I don't even want to go into that.
But and remember that means that even though you meet your deductible, your company is still not paying 100% at this point.
No, unless you have a really good health insurance plan. And I know you're paying a whole lot for your premiums if you're doing that.
Then the last one,
There's
what?
90, 60, 40.
Yeah,
It
I've
all
seen
depends. That's
some
with the
coinsurance
coinsurance.
even 50-50. So you go from paying
Oh,
full to half,
gosh.
and then you go to then paying. But yeah, for I know like what you
Dang.
said, most of them are the 80-20. I think that's kind of like what insurance companies kind of start at when they negotiate. Because all of these decisions are determined by your employer.
Yeah, the insurance company just it's like here we have a bunch of listed services that we will pay for your employees, and then the employer will decide how much money that they want to spend on and what how much they want to spend and what coverages that they want to provide their employees. And I know this is we're going to get into the political part of all of this too
And
later.
so at this point, if you've met your deductible, you're gonna have your coinsurance, and then your remaining anything that you will remain to pay for the year is going to go towards your out-of-pocket. And now,
Most policies do put your deductible towards your out-of-pocket, but some policies do
Correct.
not. You have to read, like, you have to. It is essential for you to go through your health insurance plan and see and verify what you actually chose, because not all insurance plans are created equal at
Yeah, and
all.
that goes for co-pays as well. Your co-pays can sometimes go towards your out-of-pocket. It's not always. It's always something that you have to look in the paperwork, ask your human resources, call your insurance company, and verify that information. Because out-of-pocket is pretty much like it's self-explanatory. It's the money that you pay out-of-pocket. But you want to know which parts of that money is going to be applying to that when you start to go to the doctor.
Right. Is it your deductible? Is your your co-insurance automatically goes to out of pocket, right? I've never seen a co-insurance
Yeah,
not,
your car
but I've
insurance
seen
is
where
gonna
companies.
go. Yeah.
Yeah, so the 20% that you pay for your co-insurance is definitely going towards your out of pocket maximum, but your deductible that it may or may not go, and your co-pays may or may not go. Please read your
Yeah,
benefit
basically what that
booklet.
means is if it's separate, that means that your out of pocket will not start until your deductible is met. If it's
Right.
together, then anything that you paid showing on your deductible, you can basically say that that's your out of pocket. And then once you hit your deductible, all of that that's accumulating since then will go to just out of pocket.
I guess we also know that you don't pay your deductible to your insurance company. You pay it to the
Correct.
doctors also. And your explanation of benefits, like, we keep account whether you actually pay your bill to the doctor or not. The money still will apply towards your co-insurance, your deductible, and your out-of-pocket maximum. Like, we don't keep up with, or we don't, the insurance company does not keep up with
Bills.
how much pay to your doctor, your bills, or anything. So if you have questions on your bills, make sure that you direct them directly to your doctor instead of contacting your insurance company. Your insurance company doesn't negotiate your bills with the
Correct.
doctors.
Then you got that's like if you go and you have a surgery and you pay up front, your insurance company is just going to reflect what you should be responsible for. It's not going to put in the perspective what you paid or if you were overpaid. We're just going to show what you should have been responsible for.
Right.
So you have to look at your explanation of benefits and a bill two different ways because it's not the same.
Definitely not say I actually our explanation of benefits that go out says it at the top. This is not a bill. The bill and your bill and your liability, if it's an in-network provider, should reflect the same
If you
amount of
had it,
money,
unless you
unless you
paid ahead of time.
Yeah, unless you overpaid or you owe a previous balance. Okay. Wow, who was thorough that it's a lot. No, people really don't understand. Like, it's a lot. You wanna go into Obamacare now?
Well,
Like,
I think right before we go
you
there, I do want to say, there is a government thing. It's a gov. It's out of pocket that's set by the government. It's called a global out of pocket, and that
Oh,
means that for
yeah.
certain, it's a lot to do with the 88 the high deductible plans, and
Right.
for there's a government mandate where they have to have a individual out of pocket and a family out of pocket maxed out. So if your employer previously, if the out-of-pocket was larger than that max out-of-pocket, you would have to meet that in order to get the 100% coverage. Because once you max out your out-of-pocket, you have 100% coverage for the remainder of your benefit year. That would be your co-pays, your co anything that's you can get that's covered, it'll be covered at 100%, no out-of-pocket liability. And so what happens is now employees have a out-of-pocket that may be lower than that government global. And so they may say, well, we don't want to, we don't want to follow the government's we'll go ahead and pay out of the total 100 now. And so your global and your regular out of pocket will kind of be the same. But if they have to follow that, that means that your out of pocket will be your employer will cover 100% for certain things. You may still have to pay a copay in order to meet the global out of pocket. You may still have to pay for certain like chiropractic visits, things that are not normally going to be that you would go to the doctor for. So it may be like if your policy covers massage therapy, that would apply against your global. So it's very, like I said, when you get these things, like Victoria said, make sure because everything is not, if they're not the same. All policies are definitely not
Correct. And when you think about, like, we hear Trump talking about now, like, rolling back Obamacare and getting the premiums down, and people are like, yay! And then I work on the end where they sold the new Trump short-term policy. And a lot of people are happy with those because they don't really like when you a lot of people have pre-existing health concerns, like conditions, and when we say pre-existing, that means like anything could be pre-existing. If you went to the doctor for a headache, or you had a migraine and you had a diagnosis of migraine back in when you were 16, but then you get this policy when you're 40 and you say you never had migraines, and then you come up like medical records just appear because they do request way back when sometimes, and we have record that you had a migraine back when you were 16. That's a pre-existing condition, and a lot of the new short-term policies we had a lot of complaints on it because people expected to be covered for certain things, and a lot of those policies didn't cover much.
And pre-existing conditions, like you said, it's anything. And but not only is it anything that's in your past, anything currently. So, you know,
Right.
people who were living with diabetes before Obamacare, they would have to pay a lot in order to get coverage for
Right.
that, for something that they're currently dealing with. And so that was why, you know, Obama, that wasn't fair to under that administration for them to come up with that. So with eliminating that, that means that people who already have coverage and they're already being able to afford, you know, their health care, it can just end if they don't, because it's a pre-existing. They're not going to pay for something that you already had. We're only going to pay for a new sickness.
Yeah. And with Obamacare, I never really, I mean, it's called the Affordable Health Care Act, and then people attach Obama's name on it, and him being the nice guy, I was like, oh yeah, Obama does care, but a lot of people like really mess themselves up with that because a lot of disenfranchised and poor people have pre-existing. You got high blood pressure, diabetes, mental health, anything could be a pre-existing. And I think for me, I like the coverage for the Obamacare. I think it was a great with it when it came to preventive services because a lot of the services like contraceptive wasn't covered. Like you couldn't get birth control. It wasn't covered. A lot of employees did not want to pay for that. And I remember when I first working in health insurance, chiropractic and mental health services were like a new thing. Like covered, they weren't really being covered. Chiropractic services was like an elective, and with the policies that I work with, is an elective. That's not something that all of the policies actually cover. You have to elect that and maternity, like not just maternity. Like how in that? But some of those policies we don't. Insurance companies don't sell, but some people still have a lot of the older policies that haven't
Yeah, and like
changed.
part of that was the, like she said, the maternity was you and your spouse have to have coverage for maternity under that. Now
Right.
dependent, that's something else we'll get into. But also with contraceptives is the only people that were opting out. Well, I know now under the changes that Trump has said is or religious companies. So if your company was religious and they had a conservative view, they didn't have to have contraceptives. They didn't have to cover contraceptives under the act. And it was very limited under Obamacare. But under Trump, they signed more bills to where it's easier for companies to reject covering contraceptives. Meaning,
What do you mean by limit?
do you mean limit?
You said it was limited under
Yeah, you had
Obamacare.
to be like a, an actual, like a church that was not a, a hospital that was,
Oh,
by the church, like Sisters of Something Hospital. With this one, it's based on just on the company's outlook. So you don't have to be working for, okay, let's say Chick-fil-A. I'm not sure what they, if they cover that, but being that that's what they promote, they would be able to say, well, no, as part of our branding, we don't want to cover that. It's not part of our
right.
brand.
Yeah, a lot of lab works is covered under Obamacare. I hate calling it, but I said Affordable
I
Care.
mean, it's they've done it. It's now Trump Care. It's Obamacare just was such a big change that it stuck. But whoever is the president at the time, that administration, it was Clinton Care, it was Bush Care. It's always called that. It's just the changes that were so drastic at the time is why we still Obamacare just kind of stuck.
Yeah, the premiums went up. Premiums are still going up with Trump also, but I feel like with breast cancer, the mammograms, I wish they would like lower the age for mammograms, routine mammograms, because for Black women, the age, like, you don't even have to have now a family history and you can still get breast cancer. And it's so weird now. I think that they really should lower the
And I mean,
age. That's just my
and
opinion.
right now that's up to the employers. So like we said, that's something still that an employer can say.
Well, Trump care, because it's 40. I think it's 40 for mammograms,
Yeah, but
and
I'm saying the
no,
companies
40
can
for.
they can now choose if they want to do it at any age. They would.
Okay.
Yeah, so they can put that as a non-standard. That's 40 is going to be the standard that any insurance company writes in just because it's the law under the act. But the company can choose to say, hey, we don't care about the age. We feel like all of our employees. And it's going to be a, I'm going to tell you, your best plans are going to be for labor. If you work for a place that requires you to really be do manual labor or like a plant or a bus, not bus, truck driver. Those people will get the best type of benefits because that
Told me too.
their
Told
life, they're putting their bodies on the line.
So they want to make sure that you're healthy. Publix has a great insurance. I've seen their policies. They're awesome. They cover massage therapy as like, because massage therapy, chiropractic services were like, they're considered new age and mental health.
Well,
That's
now
crazy. The
mental
mental
health
health.
was under that act, and also part of a mental health parity act. But their massage therapy is, yeah, it's not seen as what they could say medically necessary. And so
Yes.
it's pretty much it's not enough doctors say that it works for them to, for companies to say, oh, we'll put our money into it.
Right. I don't have anything else. So I guess the importance of is to your politicians. Your politicians voting. We have an election. The election's in what,
Pretty
two
much, yeah.
weeks? Not even. Oh wow, it is 2 weeks. 2 weeks. You please be informed of whatever you vote for your interests and vote for what's best for you, because as you can see, like, if the Trump plans, those short-term policies were very, they weren't recurring policies. A lot of our members have not repurchased those policies. A lot
I
of
know
them have
some of them
ended,
with age, you can't get them right after either.
because like with those, you like they because when Obamacare came out, they covered dependents up to 26, and those policies don't like you can't cover your dependent up to 26. And they're really pretty crappy, and they're very high for no reason. Very high. That's just my opinion. Well, I do know that a lot of people haven't. They may not be returning with our company. We dabbled a little bit in the exclusive policies like chiropractic and maternity, but like there's other policy, other services that people expect to be covered for, but there is not. It's very limited coverage, like infertility.
Yeah, infertility cannot be covered at all on a lot of plans, especially employee plans. They don't cover that type of treatment. And yeah, exactly. So, and then, you know, it's going to be I'm paying for them to get pregnant, so that guarantees that they're going to be missing work. So companies don't think right. about their employees all the time. Of course, we know that. So you always want to know, especially if you're, you know, recently married, you don't have kids, you're planning on having, when, you know, when you get to that time, you want to make sure that is when you're looking at your, you know, what you can afford, if your company is going to offer you, you know, assistance with that. Some companies will pay for the testing, but they won't pay for any treatment. Some companies will pay for the testing and the treatment, but they won't pay for like a donor. Some companies will pay for all of that, but they won't pay for the medication. Some companies pay for all of that. It just, you have to know what your company, that is a very specific benefit when it comes to these companies. Either they cover it, or if they cover it, they have very particular guidelines. So that's something that you don't want to go in assuming that you're going to have coverage for, and also not knowing what type of coverage you're going to get for it.
And when you mean testing, you mean like someone that is trying to see if they're infertile.
But if you are, then if you know, if you are not and you need help, they won't cover that. They'll only cover that testing. So, like I said, you want to make sure.
They have to be. Also, obesity. A lot of people think like obesity-related services are covered, but I know is not. That's not something that's normally covered. Anything that you think there's gonna be like a very expensive procedure, like gastric bypass, the sleeve, what is this gastric sleeve? I guess that's what it's called.
Oh, and stomach stapling.
Stomach stapling. Those things are not really covered. They're most likely are excluded from your policy unless your employee specifically says that they want to pay for it. That's like same with liposuction or mammoplasty. Like mammoplasty is only covered if it's like medically necessary. So if you wanted to get like you went to go get your titties done and they were too big and you want to get them reduced and you're starting to have medical issues stemming from the reduction or the breast implants, a lot of your policies are not covering.
Yeah, because that was cosmetically done.
Yeah, like cosmetic surgery is definitely not covered under medical policy.
Medical policy, they are going to try and make you prove that it was medically necessary for you to get any type of service.
You and your doctor to prove it. And the of them overturning it, it's not really, because it's in the contract.
There also is like infertility. They may cover obesity treatment, but they might not cover the surgery. So that means that they'll cover like you to get diet, you know, a nutritionist to see you, but it might be only twice a year. Or they may cover like a weight program. That has to, it could go either through a physician or it can go through whoever your company may have a contract with in an agreement. You know, different people going to want to get paid. But just because they cover obesity at the same time, if they don't cover surgery, then you want to know if they don't cover the complications from a surgery. Some people come from another company and they have had a gastric bypass. So then there's things that happen. You know, you get the overlapping skin that can cause issues with breathing, with moving. You know, if the band, something goes wrong with that, you would need to get surgery. it might not cover it because of the complication of surgery that they didn't cover in the first place. So it might not carry
All right.
over.
And if you can, get a copy of your medical policies that your insurance covers, because that's going to be the Bible. Like, the most insurance company, like, when you they have people, the doctors and nurses review your medical records to determine if they're going to cover or not. They're going by a medical policy, which is accessible to all members. So you do have access. You just have to, like, it's not readily available. Like, somebody's going to tell you, you have to actually go look
Yeah,
for it, or you
they
can
can't
ask for it.
deny you.
Ask.
That's your right as a member.
Yeah, to have medical policies.
That's the thing. You sometimes you have to be your own yeah, you have to be your own,
Advocate.
you have to be that middleman, because you might have a doctor, you know, if especially if it's not your PCP, if it's somebody that you're not going to see that often, that they're not going to go through that trouble of finding that out for you. They may just say, okay, we're going to do this, and I think it's, you know, it's necessary, but that's not what your policy says. And if you had known that, you would have known to be prepared for the charges or not to get the service done, and taking some other type of treatment.
Right. We touched on dependent coverage, because, like I said, some of the short-term policies that came out after Trump was elected, they didn't cover dependents up to 26. That's a thing. Like, your dependents, I think before Obamacare, they were covered like up to
Yeah, like one, it
18
was 18,
or
or
19.
if they were in school, it was like up to 21, I think. But at that point, you still had to prove that
Yeah.
they
So,
were a student.
maternity coverage for your dependents. Say if you have like a 16-year-old daughter that's on your, or a son that's on your policy, and then now they're having a baby, like, you have to, if your policy doesn't, like, all policies don't cover, that's not
That,
a service that
yeah, it
they
wasn't in the act. It
cover.
was the act was just for employees and their spouse. So if you have a dependent that's on your policy and they get pregnant, your policy may or may not. It's normally a no, but that's like I said, the no mean is basically part of the contract that the insurance is going to show you. Your employee can just as far as say, no, we want to go ahead and cover that. But you do want to make sure, because that's not something that you want to be in the, you know, your daughter's already pregnant and you're in the delivery room, and then you find out, okay, we're not, that's not going to be covered. You know, and she could have been shopping around for coverage for that during that time.
Yeah, that sucks. Oh, this is real life. I think those are all of the. Oh, we're in Simon surgery. How did I forget that? Normally not covered.
Yeah, there are companies, it's mostly going to be your more liberal companies, that are going to cover gender reassignment. But with that, it becomes stuff like, and you got to remember that anything that can be seen as costly is going to be scrutinized more. So with gender reassignment surgery, it's mostly going to be covered. You're probably going to have to have all the therapy, you know, documented and present this stuff before you get the surgery. And that's just like with obesity. For you to, if they cover the surgery, you may have to do a like a program, a health care program. You might have to do a certain type of drug, weight loss drug, before they're allowing you to take this route. So know that even if you do have this coverage, it's not going to automatically be covered. You want to know what you have to do before to make it medically necessary. But yeah, gender reassignment is
Right.
it's fairly new that I've seen that it's been covered. It used to be like not a, maybe even what maybe like 3 4 years ago. Like, yeah, you wouldn't even come
That.
across it.
Yeah, three or 4 years ago, because I remember being in your area, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, this, we're covering this thing. Oh, this is interesting. They have
Like she
small
said,
benefits, like typical.
chiropractic services pretty much now, they're covered on a lot more. It's more normal now. be covered, but they still might not cover. A chiropractor might not be able to do an X-ray on you. They might not cover you. Just go see a chiropractor. They might have to actually do the manipulations on you for them to cover it. And then massage therapy, of course, is very limited. It's still much not really a not covered benefit on most policies.
Yeah, when I was in a car accident a few years back, I had at the chiropractor, I had a massage therapy done. Thank God I was not reliable for any of the charges because it was the person that hit me in the back. So I did get my massage there at the chiropractor, but the person paid for that. I knew my insurance was not going to pay for it at all. They only covered like the manipulations and like some of the policies that I work with, you have to actually choose to have chiropractic services. Like the employee has to choose. The employer will not. Well, these are individual policies, so you have to actually choose
And you have to
the
remember too,
chiropractor.
like we were saying, it all depends on your employers. There's certain things that you're going to expect the employer to cover. You got to think if you're working for a company that promotes a more healthier lifestyle, they're probably going to cover obesity related procedures and treatments. If you're working, for a company that requires you to use manual labor, they're probably going to cover chiropractic and massage therapy, especially if there's something that they work with to promote it. So you have to remember that it also that employer is probably most likely going to have an insurance policy that reflects the company itself, their values. Just like we were saying about the religious businesses didn't have to cover contraception because they don't believe in contraceptive management. They're opted not to pay for that. But also, with just like with, I don't think a lot of people understand that with health insurance, there's a medical side. And so you have a medical, a dental, and a pharmacy side. And so for the most part, a lot of companies will have where they're coincided. However, you can do what's called a third-party vendor, meaning you have health insurance under one plan, and then you have your vision insurance with a different plan. Some companies, usually their vision insurance and dental insurance, you might use Aetna for your health care and Delta Dental for your dental. Dental is pretty much they're going to concentrate on just dental. Or somebody might say, okay, we want to keep it and have health plan. For the most part, with vision though, your vision is normally not going to be through your health plan. It'll be through somebody. But you want to make sure that, what is it, medical? If it's medical, it goes under your medical. Right.
If you have like glaucoma or cataracts, that's definitely a medical procedure. That's not a vision procedure at
Yeah,
all.
and vision insurance really is like most of the time it's either part it goes in the cost or like it's very it's not as yeah it's very
Percentage.
low percentage as far as your total for coverage. And then the third one is your pharmacy benefits. And a lot of companies they use pharmacy vendors. So that those are the people who set up how drugs cost for your insurance.
Big pharma. I don't know much about pharmacy. I don't really work for pharmacy on my
So
side.
with pricing, the thing is with if you go, you'll see these drugs on television that say, oh, well, we'll do this, and they're name brand drugs. So anytime you go to get a drink, you might go to your doctor and say, hey, I want to try this. If there is a generic form of that drug, most likely your employer is going to have you get the generic. Now, this is going to be cost effective. However, if you want to get the brand, it's going to cause you a little bit more of a headache, meaning you may have to have proof that the generic drug doesn't work, or why that generic drug is more preferred by your doctor. Just depends on if your doctor really wants to, fight for that. And also, another thing is, the with pharmacy vendors, it can change. It's not like your insurance where we change every year. Things can change every month.
Right.
And that's due to all the different the drug companies, manufacturer companies. They can change prices on your drug. So you may have been paying something 1 month and go to get it refilled, and it's not the same. Most of the times, it's not the insurance company to blame. It's the manufacturers. They're raising prices, and the pharmacy vendor just sees that, hey, we're losing money here. We're going to have to up our prices. And also, it was on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, but if there's something that's new and there is no generic, most likely you're going to pay a higher copay than you would if you were paying for a generic because of the fact that that's commercialism, that's capitalism. I'm the only one who have it.
Right.
I can charge what I want for it. So what insurance company, because they're made to pay out, they can't not charge you certain things because they know that they're going to lose money if they make it that affordable. And it all goes back to, like you said, who you vote for. We have to have certain things in place in order for people to feel like they're paying for a fair product.
Yeah, you have to keep in mind that all of these entities are businesses. And it's not personal. Like I think, with the politics, it's easy to take personalize these politicians, and then the way that they handle their business and what they bring to the table and everything. But a lot of this stuff is not personal. We live in the capitalistic society, so everything is about the almighty dollar. A lot of these decisions are driven based on cost and how much they have to pay, how much they're willing to pay. So I implore everyone to read, and get yourself well acquainted with your health insurance.
Yeah, and then you gotta, and another thing about the pharmacy as well is, you gotta think about the benefits that, your company is going to provide for you. Just like we said, a religious business is not going to support contraceptive coverage, so they will opt out. They're not going to support a sexual enhancement drug as well, so that would affect your prescription. You're not going to be able to get your Viagra or Cialis through that, because they don't see that as necessary. So it just, like we said, read through everything. This episode is really kind of just an advice of things that you're going to come across and things to pay attention for. Like we said, we can't give you any type of advice on what to pick. It's all based on you, but we just want to give you enough information so that when this open enrollment season gets to an end, you feel confident in your decision for the next year or so.
And this election come across to like who you want to vote for, because the politicians plays a major role in what is covered, and what is allowed.
Definitely.
Read. I think that was it. That was a good show.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much it's gonna cost. I guess all we can tell y'all is stay healthy.
Yes. A lot of you that part that I hope that if you get all of this, if you get anything else out of this podcast, get that. Stay healthy. The more healthy you are, the less you have to use your insurance, and have to deal with it. Bro, I'm generally healthy. I go for my preventive exams, and I saw a tweet was like, who decided dental coverage was not a part of health insurance? It really is, because your teeth, dental insurance is not great. Not great. That's a whole nother podcast right there. It's not great insurance. The coverage is, I guess, because there's no competition. I don't know,
I've never
but
really got why we don't count it, but
as a health, yeah,
it's
because
part of
your
your
teeth
body pretty
depend,
much, like it's.
right? That in your eyes, like, okay, and your mental health, like, I don't understand,
I guess because we don't
like.
really think about our eyes because it's affordable. But
Like,
yeah, your
I
teeth,
forgot
man,
three
it's,
Ooh. I've been blind since I was seven. Like, I've been wearing glasses up six, seven. It's very costly for me. I don't know about you, but for me, I've been wearing glasses most of my life. Very costly. And my teeth have been horrible all my life. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But be healthy. Take your vitamins, get you some vitamin D. Drink your water. Don't let fuck boys stress you out.
at all.
Or fuck girls.
Yeah, and before we go, we don't have a top five for this week. It's kind of weird to do a top five that has to do with health insurance, but we do want to do a spotlight, and so it's somebody who we found in the healthcare field that was also a Sagittarius, and it's a white person, but it's a good white person.
Yeah, she's our first.
She
she's
may
off
be the
the
first white spotlight.
Oh well, Mary. Oh, Mary. Mary Edwards Walker. You want me to go ahead
Go into it, man.
it? Okay, so Mary Walker Edwards Walker. Excuse me. She's a November Sag. She was born November 26, 1832. Yo, you took it back with her. She was born in a place called, I'm definitely not pronouncing this correctly, Oswego, New York.
I think that's how you
She
pronounce it,
was,
honestly, but
oh,
that's my opinion.
Oswego? Okay, well, your opinion counts over here. So she died February 21st, 1919. Dr. Mary Walker was actually the first. So I don't even know. She was
Start
the
from Dr.
first
Mary to that she was
woman
the
to
first.
receive the Medal of Honor. She's also the first woman surgeon in the United States Army. She was an abolitionist, a prohibitionist. She was a prisoner of war. Wow, this is a tough cookie. Let's see. What else did she? She volunteered in the Civil War. What's a prohibitionist? Did she wanted that liquor? Oh shit. She said, she turn
And
up.
she was what people call a Democrat.
I was like, prohibitionist. Okay. I don't, I'm like trying to go back and forth for this. I don't, can you hear me? Okay, great. So I can read this. In 1855, she earned her medical degree at Syracuse
Yes.
Medical College in New York. She married and started a medical practice. She volunteered in the Union Army at the outbreak of this American Civil War and served as a surgeon at a temporary hospital in Washington, D.C. Even though at the time women and sectarian physicians were considered unfit for the Union Army Examining Board. She was captured by Confederate forces after crossing enemy lines to treat wounded civilians and arrested as a spy. She was sent as a prisoner of war to Richmond, Virginia, until released as a prisoner of exchange. So she rode for her motherfucker. I wouldn't say niggas, but her wiggas.
She was down for the cause. She was down for the cause.
Going back and forth
Retort.
between, check her out on Wikipedia. I'm not even gonna, that's where we're getting that information from. Shout out to Mary, Dr. Mary Walker.
Yeah. So
Please.
that's our spotlight, Miss Mary Walker. And that's our show, man. We sorry that we had to be kind of adult on this show, but we felt going into the whole podcast that this was something that
Yeah,
we wanted
it's not, we're not trying to like
to
deviate
touch
from
on.
the crisis of the election. I think we I don't want to have an election show, so because it's everywhere. I think this is the healthy dose amount of adult conversation we can have. We'll get back to the foolishness next time.
Yeah, it was the right time. It's open enrollment for a lot of people. So we just want to do our part in helping make people understand and get a better
Please
understanding of
contact your customer
life,
service
man, your
number on the
health
back of
and
your
your
insurance card.
finances.
Don't email us or hit us up by like, I got a question. Why my
Don't
insurance?
add
I
us. We
don't know,
told you
sir.
at
I don't.
the
All right. Please.
All
All
right,
right.
man. Peace. Y'all have a good week until.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good. Do good.
All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good. Do good.